It's The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds with Marcy Silman, and I see our producer, Canadian-born David Hyde, has his hand over his heart for good reason.
They are playing his song. Speaking of songs, Ross, you've all heard that song, All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. You know it?
Yes.
Well, Canada's Prime Minister Stephen Harper has changed the lyrics. All he wants is the North Pole. Here with details on that story and more, hand over heart, Vancouver Sun columnist Vaughn Palmer. Hi, Vaughn.
Hi, Marcy. Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Were you singing along? The North Pole is ours.
The North Pole is ours.
No, let me just clarify. Does he actually want the pole, or does...
Well, the stuff under it.
You know,
it's like it's actually... Well, I mean, when it's not frozen solid up there, it's water. But Canada has... There's a UN commission, United Nations commission, on basically the limits of the continental shelf, and various countries are filing claims to it for what they consider the limits of their continental shelf. Canada has laid claim to parts of the Atlantic, also parts of the Arctic Ocean, and in our most recent filing, which is only preliminary, we've claimed the North Pole based on a ridge of mountains undersea that stretch from Ellesmere Island, the northernmost island landmass in Canada, and that stretch northward to the North Pole. The claim, won't surprise you, is disputed. Denmark thinks it has a much better claim because the North Pole is actually closer to its dividing line with Greenland, and the Russians claim it as well.
Okay, so why do all of you want this underwater territory so badly?
Well, for Santa, for one thing.
Oh, okay.
But seriously, it's the value of undersea resources, right? I mean, it's only just become apparent in the last few years that the Arctic is quite well maybe ice-free through part of the year. Eventually, people may be undersea mining up there. Mm. You may be drilling for oil and gas under there as well, and the offshore resource is considerably valuable. That's why the United Nations has taken this up as well.
Who owns it now?
It's in dispute.
So nobody owns it. It's just the North Pole.
Not like the Antarctic where countries have agreed not to claim it. It's just that, you know, for example, if you draw a straight line from the middle of the territorial waters between Greenland and Canada, where does it go through at the north, the North Pole? Eventually all lines intersect at the North Pole.
Huh, fascinating. Well, we'll see what the UN has to say. I want to move to a different part of the world, which is South Africa. And I understand that Mr. Harper and two former Canadian prime ministers joined the many dignitaries from around the world who were there for the memorial for Nelson Mandela.
Yeah, Harper actually took a bunch of former Canadian prime ministers. So on the plane with him was three former prime ministers, and another one joined them down there. So a bunch of our prime ministers went to this. Canada has a good, an important role, one that it's quite proud of, in the development of the end of apartheid. 50 years ago, a Canadian Prime Minister, John Diefenbaker, set in motion the events within the British Commonwealth of Nations that led to South Africa's departure, took one of the first strong stands against apartheid. Mm-hmm. And in the 1980s, our Prime Minister Brian Mulroney actually had a real battle with Margaret Thatcher within the British Commonwealth over sanctions against South Africa. Mulroney broke with both Reagan and Thatcher on that issue. When Nelson Mandela was finally freed from prison, one of the first countries he visited was Canada, and he spoke to our parliament and thanked our country for the role in helping to end apartheid. So we consider ourselves to be fairly significant players in all this.
Mm. It's interesting to watch the coverage of that memorial service. It seems like half the world's leaders, at the very least, were there. Interesting to watch.
It is. It was a phenomenal event in our time. I mean, you think of, you know, even older people like me, you'd have to say it's one of the great events of our time, was one of the great people of in history is Mandela.
On a very different note, we were talking about different countries coming together, and there's a Canadian pundit who says the heck with eliminating trade barriers between the U.S. and Canada. Why not just go ahead and eliminate the borders? Is she for real, or is this a facetious argument?
Well, she's written a whole book about it, Diane Francis, and it was excerpted in the Wall Street Journal this week. Merger of the Century. Why Canada and the United States should become one country. Frances is a dual citizen. She's a Canadian and an American citizen. And she's written this book basically arguing that for business and economic reasons, for trade reasons, for global trade reasons in particular, competing with the Asian trading bloc and the European trading bloc, Canada and the United States should merge. Canada lacks the financial resources to develop its natural resources. Together, the two countries would be formidable.
Well, aside from borders and, for the most part, a common language, what else do Canadians and Americans share culturally?
We watch a lot of the same television shows. We speak almost exactly the same language, eh?
And I'll have to work on that part of it.
It's interesting. This is just the kind of provocative thing that gets thrown out. I mean, my guess is most Americans would say, if you want to apply to become a state, there's a process. It worked for Hawaii and Alaska. Send in an application, and we'll think about it. And Canadians are horrified at this idea of merging with the United States. So, I mean, she's stirring things up. There's a couple of things that she says, though, that are significant, which is about the Canadian economy's ability to develop its own resources, Canada increasingly taking investment from China to control our resources, and whether that's in the best interests of the North American economy. I mean, it's a provocative idea that she's put out there, but there is some merit in a couple of the things she's saying.
So essentially, if we combined economic forces vis-a-vis China, you're talking about one mega superpower from North America.
Yeah, that's essentially the argument she's making. And, as I said, I don't think it's on. Don't think for a moment it's on. I think she's made this argument in part to get people talking about competitiveness, trade, whether the border is an impediment to trade in North America. I think to some degree it is, not for so much for economic reasons, but just security reasons and things like that. And then, as I said, throw in the investment issue with his China buying up Canada's resources, and whether that's in the best interest of either Canada or the United States.
Well, I wait for a reaction on this side
of
the...
Put it on your Christmas list.
I will, along with the North Pole.
As for Santa, I mean, he's probably keeping an eye on Canada these days.
Because you are naughtier than usual. Vaughn Palmer, columnist for the Vancouver Sun, regular Wednesday guest here on The Record. Thanks. Nice to talk with you, Vaughn.
Bye-bye, Marcy.
It is The Record on KUOW with Ross Reynolds. I'm Marcy Silman.